blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter number 1.
To read out of God's holy and precious word, out of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, thereof from chapter 19. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 19, beginning with verse 12 and up to and including verse 22. 19, 12 to 22. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee. Escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who givest unto us thy holy word, and thou who dost come with thy warnings, and with thy admonitions, with thy invitations unto each and every one of us, week after week, and we have heard it once again, haste thee, escape for thy life. And we are not those who can be made to haste, except that thou dost give us a new heart. For we see no danger, and we see nothing that will destroy us. We do not believe thy word. And so we go on day after day, calling our houses after our own names, as if we shall dwell here forever. O Lord, how that we shall groan in travail, and one day to all eternity, and with the knowledge of all thy warnings which have come unto us. Oh, that thou wouldst do more and then give to us a warning that comes but to our ears, but that thou mayest also bring it in our hearts. Oh, that we may be born again, that we may receive that hastening Spirit, and that we may be made to seek and to ask and to knock as our life depends upon it. Oh, that we may be given to see the danger that is about us, and that we are hanging over that great pit by a small thread. And when it is cut, and that silver cord is loosed, and then it shall be too late for us and our dear children. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, we who know it all so well in our minds, but who cannot be made even to seek with the smallest portion of that urgency that thou dost require, and that the situation of our life requires, our condemnation that lies upon us, thy wrath which is directed against us, that soon shall be unleashed. O Lord, that thou mayest show unto us who and what we are in thy most holy sight. O give us new hearts of flesh, that there may be movement, that there may be life, that there may be a fear of thee born within, and that there may be a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness and a fleeing for our life's sake while it is still called today. O Lord, to whom does it belong but unto thee? All power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. O to whom else can we go? And thou hast the words of eternal life. And what shall it profit if we hear it with our ears? And thy Spirit is absent, O Lord. O that thou mayest show also unto those who are fearful, those who are not able to make it right in their own strength with thee, those who are brought by thy Spirit to an end of all their own strength and all their own righteousness and all their own doings, and that thou mayest point them by thy Spirit unto thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son, that they might learn to flee to him, that they may not reject him, but that they may see that in him is life, in him is everything, and that they stand in need of for time and for eternity. Oh, in him there is forgiveness, in him there is justification, in him there is sanctification, there is cleansing, there is reconciliation, in his satisfaction unto the Father. O Lord, then everything has been taken care of by thee, for a people who can take care of nothing. O give them to feel it more and more, that thy church may learn by a true and living faith, by thy Spirit to flee to thee. Oh, that they may make a holy use of the way that thou hast made for sinners, to be brought again into thy blessed communion, out of which they cannot fall. Oh, Lord, that thou mayest give to feel and experience something, a little portion of that blessed rest, and that is to be found in the Son of Man, the Son of God. in all his myriad toil engravings, and that they may become beautiful and precious in the sight of sinners, and that they may be given to magnify and glorify thy great and holy name, for a great salvation, a grace that is as wide as the ocean, which was also sufficient for me. O Lord, give yet a testimony in the life of thy own, in great humility of spirit, in the midst of us as a congregation, unto both young and old, that there may be a magnifying of thy grace, that there may be a testifying of thy goodness, and that thy name may be magnified and glorified in the midst of us as a congregation, and that the children and the youth might be given to see and to feel a little of the preciousness of the blessings of the people of the Lord, and that they may desire with all their heart and all their strength, and not to look behind them anymore, but to seek that one thing that is needful in their life, or that they might find it in the days of their youth, to receive that blessed communion with God their Maker, in and through a blessed Redeemer, a near kinsman, or that thou may remember thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou give thy kingdom to come, that many may be brought in, glorify and magnify thy name in the midst of this world. Oh, do forgive and take away all of our many sins. Wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word on the mission fields, all that do labors of mercy also? And we have heard of the great earthquake which has taken place in Haiti. O Lord, then many have lost their lives. Many are hurt. Oh, that thou may supply in that great need. Also, when a hurricane is now expected, oh Lord, then the fears can be so many, and the destructions are so very great. And then in a nation and a country where there is so much poverty and so much suffering, oh, that thou mayst look upon that people, Lord, and all the devastation, the little that they had, that is taken away from them. Oh, give them to cry unto the God of heaven and of earth, for they may know by nature that thou livest, and wilt thou give them to know, and that thou art yet alive, and that there are storehouses that are open, and may it be for the body, but also for their souls. Oh, remember all that suffer in this world. The world is full of iniquity and all of its consequences. Oh, Lord, draw us back as men, as nations, as peoples, to thy word and to thy testimony. Give us to bow at thy footstool, and that as nations we might know that God is the Lord, and that we may desire that he may be our God, also us as a nation. O Lord, thou knowest our rulers, all that reign over us. Give them wisdom, give them the fear of thy name. Oh, that thou thyself may reign in the midst of us, and give thy truth to prevail amongst men in this time, and that thou wouldest bring us back
which we can hardly see anymore the possibility. Many we may pray it of thee, that thou wouldst bring us back to thy law and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted and sick and that mourn in these days? Be with us in this hour. Oh, could it be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us that thy spirit may abound and that life may abound and that there may be in the midst of us both young and old an impression, a saving impression of thy truth, of thy existence, but also of thy law and of that blessed gospel. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 398 all the stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 398.
beloved congregation, what was the cause of Lot's deliverance out of Sodom? You will say it was the mercy of the Lord. That is right. That is what we heard. The Lord being merciful unto him. Did the Lord owe that then to Lot? What do you think, children? Did the Lord owe that deliverance unto Lot? You will say, I don't think so. And that is right. Lot chose Sodom, didn't he? He didn't have to go to live in Sodom. That was his own choice, motivated by desires after all that he could receive that is in this world. What then was the difference? What was the difference between those Sodomites then and Lot? Well, you say that is election. The Lord has chosen Lot. That is right. May he do that? Does he have a right to do that? You do also what you will with your own, do you not? The Lord has a sovereign right to it. But what is then the cause of the punishment of the Sodomites? Is that then reprobation? If election is laying at the foundation of the deliverance of Lot, is it then reprobation that is the cause of the punishment of the Sodomites? Is it the Lord, then, who is to blame that the Sodomites are punished? You say, that is a difficult question. Maybe that lives sometimes, young people, in your hearts. When you hear about election and reprobation, then you say, if I am reprobate, then I am reprobate, and I cannot do anything about it anyway. And secretly, in our heart, we blame the Lord. But is the Lord to be blamed? No, he is not. It is not reprobation. Neither is it the Lord who is the cause of punishment. Never. What is the cause of punishment? That is sin. That is sin. And we like to have a little excuse to say the Lord is the cause of reprobation, and therefore I can go on in my sin. There is a difference between reprobation and punishment. They're very, very closely related. They can never be separated from each other. And yet they must be distinguished from one another. The Lord assigns already from eternity the eternal place of every man. But he only punishes sin. Thus there will be no man that will be able to blame the Lord for his own punishment. But on the other side, everyone who may be delivered
will magnify rightly the mercy and the grace of God, will also we be one of them? Let us consider together. Once again, out of Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 22a. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. So far, the words of our text. Lot admonished to haste. First, the admonishment itself. And second, the reason for this admonishment. Lot admonished to haste. Haste thee, escape thither. The admonishment itself. Second, the reason for this admonishment. For I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. The reason for this admonishment. Haste thee, escape thither. Who says that? That is a good question. Actually, we do not know exactly who is speaking these words. We have heard that there were two angels, children. They have come into Sodom, and they have brought Lot while he lingered, and they have set him outside of the city. But in verse 17, we read, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, they brought them forth abroad, and then it says, he said. So someone is speaking, and the question is, who is speaking? And Lot, he also speaks back to this person, and he addresses him as Lord. That is not in all capital letters, which is Jehovah, but Adonai, Lord or Master. So that is a word that can be used to address God sometimes, or sometimes used to address a man. So in this case, it could be either God or man. So who here is speaking? There are two possibilities. You remember, children, what went before this chapter, right? And then we know that the angels of the Lord, they have been by Abraham. But not only the angels, there were three men. Thus, the Lord himself. And the Lord, he remained behind. He was in the form of a man that was not as the Son of Man in his incarnation. No, that is something else. But he has taken upon him, just as the angels, for a short period of time, the form of a person, and that he may appear unto Abraham and unto Lot. And the Lord stayed behind, and the angels, they went. And they went into Sodom, and they have brought him out, and now there are two possibilities. It is possible, in the first place, that when it says, he said, that one of those angels is speaking. And he is speaking in the name of the Lord. He is giving him a message that is from the Lord. And thus, Lot has also addressed him as Lord. It is also possible that when they have come out, that the Lord himself has now met these two men with Lot, and now the Lord himself is standing and speaking unto Lot himself. Whether of these two is right, we don't exactly know, but it does not make too much difference. He said, escape for thy life,
Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Those angels, they were witnesses of the lingering Lot when he was in Sodom. And those angels, they are a means in the Lord's hand to deliver him out of Sodom. They bring him out, they take him by the hand, and they bring him out and set him without the city. What does that mean? Does the Lord then force a person? When the Lord works in the life of his children, does the Lord then force his people? That they do everything against their own will? No. We heard something about his flesh, and the Lord comes against that flesh. But the Lord, when he deals with a man, does not do the same as we deal with a beast, and we force a beast. No, the Lord, he deals with the man, as a rational creature, as one who has a mind, a will, who makes choices. Thus, there is much room, and we read that much in the Word of God, for admonishments, for warnings, for invitations in the life of God's church. Because the Lord, he is dealing with his creature as he has created him. And thus, Lot is brought out. And now it is not merely by force that he will go out of that city, but he is now being urged. Now he says, escape. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. What does he say? Be glad now, Lot. Be glad that you may escape and have but your life. There are many that will not escape with their life. Oh, be glad that you have but your life. Do not look behind you. Do not mourn for all those things that you have to leave behind, that you may not take along. Escape. What is it to escape? The word actually means to slip out, to slip away. That means that it is as if he were already included in the judgment. That he was one of those who was assigned as that whole city unto destruction. But then at the last moment, then he may slip out, he may slip away, he may escape from that judgment. Were you ever included in the judgment? That is the way the Lord is working in the life of his children. That they are included in the judgment. What is deliverance? Deliverance is experienced by every one of that church as an escape from a certain punishment, a certain judgment that I was involved in, that was laying upon me. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, he is working this. This hastening that they may escape from the judgment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Where does that come from? Does that live in your heart? We've spoken about this last week already. How was that this week? Was there then a hastening? Young people, was there a hastening? When we have heard of that judgment of Sodom, that we said, I am in a great danger. Oh, did you begin to read in your Bible? Did you begin to pray unto the Lord? Did you say, oh Lord, I also need now to escape? Or have you forgotten what we have preached about last week, until it was read unto us now in this afternoon? How is it? Is there a hastening? Or we do not haste, do we? We do not haste. Now, when the greatest dangers are set all around us, and why do we not haste? Because we are dead. Because we are dead. That is what our fathers say according to the Word of God. Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know what happens when the Lord makes us alive? You read the Pilgrim's Progress, right, boys and girls, young people? Oh, then he flees. Then there is in the heart, that is the Spirit of the Lord, he is urging a man. Like the Spirit of the Lord, like the Lord is urging Lot, haste thee, escape for thy life. Oh, then there is seen that we have not much time. Oh, then there is a desire to turn away from all the Sodom that is in this world. Then we are looking how that we may escape from the judgments of the world that are coming. Do we know? Do we know something, the smallest part in our life, of this hasting, of this urgency? Lest thou be consumed. Why does the Lord convert a person? The Lord does that for his own honor, for his own glory. Oh, when that 144,000, they shall be brought in, how shall heaven expand with the glorious praises of God from saved sinners. The Lord does it all for the glory of his own name. But that is not experienced necessarily in the beginning of the life of that people. In that sense, the Lord, he works. Say it is supernatural, yes, it is a supernatural work. But, on the other hand, in a certain sense, the Lord, he works in a natural way. In this sense, that it is according to the way that he has created mankind. A human being. What does he do? He makes a man concerned about the welfare of his own soul. His own soul. You say, do they not become more concerned with the honor of the Lord than themselves? Oh, that is something that often is later in their life. But all those lepers and all those sick persons, they did not come to the Lord Jesus to glorify him.
They came to be healed. Came to be healed. What do you think of the welfare of your own soul? You say that is selfish. Is that so? Oh, how has the Lord created a man? He has created a man with self-love. Is that right? Yes. That is true. That is good. What did the Lord Jesus say? You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. The same love that God has put in you for your own self. With that same love, you must also love your neighbor. Self-love. You say, well, Job, he said, I abhor myself. That is right. Do you too? Why? For his sin. For his sin. But did he hate himself? Did he kill himself? Did he take his own life? No, that is sin. It is sin to hate yourself. God has made us. What then do we think about our own welfare? Oh, do we love our own soul? What did the Lord say? He said, lest thou be consumed. Oh, do we love our own soul sufficiently to flee at the direction of the Lord, lest we be consumed? What does the Lord do? He uses self-love as a motive. As a motive. He says it is for your own welfare. May you love yourself sufficiently to flee from the destruction that is coming. Oh, not so, my Lord. Who says that? Not so, my Lord. That is Lot. Say, how is that possible? Will he object to his own deliverance? Will he object to his own safety? That he does not want to leave that city of Sodom? Oh, that is not it. No, Lot, he is very grateful. We read that, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. But what time is it, children? What time is it? I don't mean now. I mean for Lot. Say it is early in the morning. And how much sleep did Lot get last night? Say none. None. Those men, they came in the evening. Lot has been awake all the day long. He has done all of his work. And now all the night has gone. And he has had no sleep. And he is weak. He is tired. And he has to flee out of this city. And now he is afraid. What is he afraid of? Listen. He says, I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Oh, he is afraid he does not make it to that mountain. What do you think? Do you think that he needs to be afraid? Do you think that there is any way that the Lord will allow Lot to come out of that city and that he will miss his final destination? That he will not come there? You think that is possible? Do you think that the Lord begins a work and does not finish it?
how many fears are in the life of God's people. Fears that they will never come there. Fears that they will miss the mark. Oh, did Lot need to fear? Oh, you see, the Lord, who has brought him out of that city, he will also bring him in. The Lord will bring him to that place of safety. Yes, we can say that. But what is faith? Faith is a gift of God. The being of faith, the exercise of every exercise of faith in the smallest matter is not so, people of the Lord. Sometimes in the smallest matter, and you cannot trust. Oh, it is in those circumstances that it is experienced and felt that faith is not something that we carry around in our pockets. That it has always to come from the side of the Lord. Oh, how unrealistic are so many of those fears that are living in the heart of the people of God. That is what we sing sometimes. Asaph, in my weakness, I was pressed with fear. But better hopes my spirit's cheer. Past mercies lead me to rely upon the help of God Most High. But Lot cannot do that now. Lot cannot do it. He can look back and he can even testify of the mercies of the Lord in the saving of his life. Thou hast shown unto me great mercy. That is now in the past. And now he looks to the future. And he trembles. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Oh, what is the cause of all that unbelief? Sometimes a weak body that can bring faith very low. We read in the Lord's Prayer, then the Lord, he teaches his people to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and that is coming before, forgive us our debts. Do you understand that? When you become old, children, young people, and you become weak, your eyes fail, your hearing fails, your mind is failing, then you will understand it. Oh, that weak body that can come so in the way sometimes, even of faith. But there is something else. Where has Lot been living? Oh, he was in the midst of Sodom. And when God's children live in the midst of Sodom, that is not very conducive to the exercise of true faith. Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. What city was that? That was a city named Bila. It was just a few miles, they say, between 2 and 5 miles or so away from Sodom. You say, that is not very far. Not very far when we think about fire and brimstone raining out of heaven. That city of Bila would not be included in that destruction. But Lot, he has a desire to go to this city. Some say it was just a little city, and therefore Lot, he says, it is a little one. Is it not a little one? Others say it was actually a large city. And that he refers not to the city being little, but he says, is that not just a little request? Thou hast shown me great mercy in this deliverance. Oh, could it be that I receive just this little thing, that instead of having to flee unto that mountain, that I may be able to flee unto that city? Christ has no form and comeliness also to the people of the Lord unless the Lord opens their eyes. No form or comeliness. Lot, he wants to go to that city and be sheltered with men. Instead of going to that place that the Lord has provided for him, a cave, or he trusts more to what can be provided from mankind than he trusts what will be provided from the Lord himself. Or are there those who can recognize what is taking place in the heart of a man upon that journey? Oh, there are so many. They are crying up that name of Christ. And that is good, congregation. It is very good, because in this world, and then they can cry up the name of all other kinds of gods. So it is a wonder that that name of Christ, he is spoken of yet in our world. But we do not see, we do not feel our deadness. We do not know how impoverished that our soul is. There is nothing that goes out after that despised Son of Man. Our heart is averse to him. Oh, we want to remain with all the protections that we can get that are lying in the hands of ourselves, of mankind, fallen man. And we do not see. Oh, later he will see it. Later he will go there. But he is now still saying he cannot see it. No, that is too harsh. That is too far. That is too difficult. That is a way that I shall never be safe. Does the Lord become angry? I think we would become angry, would we not, parents, with our children? The great mercy of the Lord to deliver him out of that city, to set him outside of that city. And now Lot is faulty. He does not just want to obey. He does not see that what the Lord has set out for him, that is best. Does the Lord become angry? Listen, see. I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Is it ever a wonder to you that the Lord does not become angry with you? Abraham said unto the Lord, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak unto thee but this once. That was the last time. And did the Lord become angry? Gideon, he said unto the Lord, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot against me, but I will speak unto the Lord but this once. Oh, give me just another token. Just another token. Was the Lord angry? Oh, he has given to him far above and beyond what he has asked. Oh, we cannot fathom the goodness of the Lord in dealing, in bearing with all the sin and all the infirmities. What a grief, what a grief. That the people of the Lord are unto him. That little city, if it was a little city, oh, how little did they know when Lot entered into that city, what that meant. How little did they know that it was this man who came into that city as a refugee that has delivered that city from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The world does not realize that the world floats upon the cork of the church. They persecute the church. They will slay the church, but they do not realize that when the last one of that people is off of that world, then the destructions of the Lord are going to bring that world unto its end. Hastening, escape thither. Oh, once again, Lot is admonished. He was admonished before. And he is admonished again. Oh, Lot, now. Lot, it is enough. No more lingering. No more excuses. I've given thee now what thy heart has requested. And now you must obey. You must obey. Haste thee. Escape for thy life. And why? Why the haste? We want to see that after we sing. 284, stanzas 2 and 3. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. 284, stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you. thee, escape thither. Why? For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. I cannot do anything. Who says that? We are not sure. Remember? It could either be that it is one of the angels that says that, or it could be the Lord Himself who speaks those words. Maybe, children, that you say, well, now I know. Now I know who it has to be. It cannot be the Lord. It has to be one of those angels. I cannot do anything. Oh, we can understand that one of the angels, he may say that, because he has received a commission from the Lord, and the Lord will not allow him to do anything. But the Lord, he cannot say that, I cannot do anything. Is that so? Is that right? Are there things that the Lord cannot do? Oh, there are. What are some things that the Lord cannot do? Oh, the Lord cannot deny himself. The Lord cannot be who he is not. The Lord cannot change any of his own attributes. He cannot. It is impossible. Is that because he has no power? Is that because he lacks strength? No. He is almighty. Why is it that he cannot? He cannot because it would be a contradiction. It would be a contradiction within himself. And there can be no contradiction in God. Congregation, do you know what that means? That means that in our text, there is to be found one of the greatest comforts for that true church of God in this world. Does not matter if it was said by the angels or if it was said by the Lord himself. Those amount here to one and the same. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. The Lord, he is not limited, he is not constrained by anything that is outside of himself. But he is constrained by himself, of himself. He does constrain himself. He binds himself. He swears. He swears by himself. Why? Because he can swear by no greater. Hasty. I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Oh, what a great comfort was that for Lot. You remember that Lot was afraid. He was afraid to escape unto the mountains. all Lot has to run. He has to run quickly. He has fears that he will not make it. Now, what does the Lord say? I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. Oh, Lot does not run, having a question about the issue, how that will come out. Does that make then men careless and profane? Oh, no. The Lord, he says, haste thee. Why then? Why does the Lord say that? What is the reason for this admonishment? Haste? Was he then unsure of his life? Not for a moment. Oh, the life of Lot that is bound up in a swearing God. It is bound up in God himself. Why the need to hasten? Why the command? Why the admonition? It has nothing to do with the safety of Lot. That has to do with the Lord himself. What do we read? We read that that sin of Sodom that is crying for vengeance, the cup of the wrath of God is filled. The cry of the city is waxing great before the face of the Lord. Humanly speaking, the Lord can refrain no longer. There comes a time when the cup is full. There comes a time that justice calls for vengeance. And cannot wait. But in the visions of God, Ezekiel, he saw the punishments of the Lord coming upon Jerusalem. And the Lord will slay in Jerusalem. But the command of the Lord was heard, not until those that cried and sighed for the abominations were sealed in their foreheads. We read about the Apostle John, and he has seen it also in the visions of the Lord. Four angels from the four quarters of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that they should not blow upon the earth and upon the sea and upon the trees. And an angel of the Lord ascending out of the east. And he is crying with a loud voice unto the four angels that were given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth and the sea and the trees, until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. Oh, how safe. How safe that church is. Despite all their fears, the welfare of the church of God that is grounded in the being of God himself. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it?
hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, God's people, they are so often a trembling people. Why? Because time and again, they think to have sinned everything away. Oh, and then they have seen it. Oh, they cannot deny what they have seen. In the revelations of the blessed mediator, what is all found in him, oh, then they can see it with that eye of faith. In the revelations of himself, in looking through the window, oh, then they may see. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Nothing necessary to come from the sight of mortal man. But they cannot hold on to it. As soon as sin that is raising its ugly head, oh, then they think that they have to make amends again, and they now have to pacify the Lord, because they have made a separation between God and their soul. Oh, congregation, the church of God that is delivered, and in that deliverance they are escaped from all the wrath and from all that punishment. That escape is permanent. Never will the church be cast away. Oh, they may receive the chastisements of the Lord, but they will never be cast away. Had God cast away his people? God forbid. Oh, it is a blessing when the church may mourn for their sin and at the same time be established upon this foundation. Oh, there is not a single of the regenerated souls of God that are not partakers of that safety. But now the steadfast comfort of that safety, that is something else. Momentary comforts in the revelations of the Lord to their soul. But then it is lost. And now, with every sin, with every transgression, with every wandering away, once again a trembling. Why? Oh, then they miss something. What do they miss? They miss that marriage unto him. In that marriage, they may live it out. They may live it out with peace and comfort, though they still must haste. And yet, the Lord shows them that the end shall be well. My hand, we sang it this morning, didn't we? Is clasped by thine forever and held by love that faileth never. How is that, husbands and wives, when those two hands are clasped? Are they then held by love faileth never. That is that marriage. Oh, if we may know that marriage. If the Lord may show us something of that marriage. I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. That is a wonderful thing. Is that not now something to be sought, people of the Lord? Haste thee, escape thither. Oh, that is the admonishment of the Spirit of the Lord when He comes to work. Now you may ask yourself, each one ourselves, do we know something of the admonishment within? The Spirit of the Lord urging us, make haste, escape thither. Then there are no more excuses. With all the things, though we have to go on in this life, yes. Though we have to do our work, yes. But then the excuses fall away. For I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. That is the safety of everyone of that true church that is united unto Him. They may have to go live in a cave for the rest of their life because of their own sinful wanderings. The chastisement of the Lord for their welfare. That is as sure as God is true. O congregation, is that not a blessed people? And is that not now a blessed knowledge, as our Father said, that I might know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, how many of us can say that, people of the Lord? And what does the Lord say, congregation? If we will seek it, we will find it. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but wilt thou give thy Spirit's blessing that we may be given to haste, because we do not haste, because we are dead, because we see no danger. Oh, we need to be taken by the hand. We need to be set outside of the city. And we need thy Spirit within us to change our will, that we may make new and right choices. Oh, teach us, Lord. Do lead us into all thy truth. Forgive and take away our many sins. Remember us in all the labors of our hands in this week. And wilt thou keep from danger, accident, evil, and sin with all the blessings poured out upon us day after day. Care for the children. Remember our teachers. And they will begin laboring once again to receive the children in our school, that thou mayest be near unto them in their labors. And wilt thou keep us on every side from self and sin and world, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close with singing Psalter 21, stanzas 1 and 4. O Lord, be thou my helper true, For just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find from truth and wisdom men depart, with flattering lips and double heart, and they speak their evil mind. Once again, I would like to ask our young people, if you wish to join the confession class, and that you please contact me this week, and we hope, young people, and that your heart may be affected with the goodness of the Lord to his people, that you may have a desire in your heart to join yourself unto his truth with a hunger and a thirst, that it may be not only in an outward way, but also in an inward way. 21, 1 and 4.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.